Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Good to have you with us. As he campaigned for the presidency, one of Donald Trump's most consistent messages was aimed at undocumented immigrants. At one point, he promised a deportation force to remove millions of undocumented immigrants, and that message helped him get elected. Now, it remains to be seen just what will actually come to pass once he becomes president in 2 weeks. But the increased possibility of immigration raids is certainly out there. Let's talk now about just what happens during those raids and how they affect families and Latino communities in particular and their relationship with local law enforcement. With us now is William Lopez, who's a postdoctoral scholar at the University of Michigan School of Social Work. Welcome.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And we welcome back to Stateside the Sheriff of Washtenaw County, Jerry Clayton. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I am happy to be here.
William, you were in the middle of working and studying the Latino community when one of those immigration raids happened just a few miles from the University of Michigan. Tell us about that.
That's right. So a collaborative survey was occurring in Washtenaw County of Latinos in the community. And the survey, the Encuesta Buenos Vecinos, was about 5 months long. And right in the middle was a pretty big immigration raid. So for the first time, we had data of health data before a raid and after a raid. And we've seen and we've heard, and folks who are in these communities, right, their lives are often shaped by or at least strongly affected by these raids, but research hasn't really caught up. So what we're trying to do is show how quantitatively and qualitatively, because we interviewed folks involved as well, these raids affect all sorts of relationships. So relationships between individuals, between family members, between Latino communities and white communities, and also between immigrant and Latino communities and local police departments.
What happened in that raid in November 2013?
There was a man who had previously been deported and had returned, and the first time he was deported, it was said they had a weapon with him. So when he was going to be arrested this time, ICE, or Immigration and Customs Enforcement, collaborated with the local sheriff's office. Using a SWAT team, they raided his taller, his garage, his automobile shop on the first floor, and an apartment on the second floor. And this raid was the culmination of immigration enforcement that was taking place all day long. So starting when he was arrested at about 8 in the morning, following arrests of folks who drove out of that automobile shop, and then again the raid that happened at about 6 o'clock p.m. And multiple men were detained and were arrested and eventually deported from the auto mechanic shop on the first floor. And women with about 4 children under the age of 5 were in the apartment upstairs when it was raided.
Yes, in fact, I saw from your paper 3 women and there were 4 children under age 5 when this was present. Sheriff Clayton, does your department enforce federal immigration law, or what was your role then?
We do not enforce federal immigration law. Actually, we're very clear. We have a policy on it. We are a law enforcement agency, criminal justice agency, I'll say. So we do cooperate. And so I'll make 2 points. We make it very clear to our deputy sheriffs that if they make a contact with someone, the immigration status of that person is immaterial to us, does not matter. Address whatever reason you make contact with them. Do not ask about immigration status, and we don't do that. In a situation like the situation that Dr. Lopez refers to, when another law enforcement agency comes into our county and makes contact with us and asks for assistance, so we didn't insist in the immigration piece. The reason why we were involved is because they gave us information that this person in the past and could be currently armed and potentially dangerous. And they articulated that they didn't feel that they were equipped to address that situation, so they asked for our SWAT team to assist. That's no different than we do in any other situation, and we have evaluation criteria where we would put SWAT into action. So
and
it was really
fit
consistent
it.
With that. And I'll add one more piece. So that did fit. Here's the other piece.
Yeah.
ICE, they don't always tell us they're active in the county. Oftentimes they don't tell us. We find out after the fact. And quite frankly, if they told us they were active, we'd want to know, and we actually would want to be present during their activity. Not from an enforcement standpoint, but often what happens is parents are taken. Kids are left. Maybe dad's taken. Mom might be there. The kids are there. And we want to provide that safety net. So how do we connect maybe the spouse? How do we connect the children to social services to make sure that they don't fall through the gap? And all of a sudden, the breadwinner's gone. The person that's providing the support's gone.
And you don't know it.
And we don't know it. And the federal, I don't think they have that commitment to the community that we have. So we want to be there to make sure that we fill that gap.
William, talk a little more about here you had, as a researcher, this mm-hmm. unexpected before and after situation. So you really could study the attitudes and how it impacted people. Tell us more about that.
Sure. So what some research has shown is that after changes to immigration law, immigration enforcement, such as bills that will allow police to enforce immigration law or regulations that, for example, clinics to ask about immigration enforcement, you see a decrease in usage, right, of those mm-hmm. of those resources.
So people are like, I'm not going to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call the sheriff's department if I've got a problem because
exactly, because
I'm
of these laws. But what we also see here is that similar changes in behavior are happening after this raid, right? So it's not only policies that may change behaviors in communities. It's also law enforcement events.
Because it's very hard if for the community in the middle of something like this to discern what you just spelled out, Sheriff Clayton.
Right.
We're
mm-hmm.
here to support ICE.
Right.
We didn't do this, but you become lumped into this amorphous
exactly.
police.
And I think one of the issues – so I realize that we're talking about an immigration event that happened in 2013.
Sure.
I often reflect, given what the sheriff's office is doing, what is the value in bringing up events that have happened. Mm-hmm. But even in the recent past, I've been in meetings with the community following an election that engendered a lot of fear in the immigrant community. And folks have just organically brought up mm-hmm. this event, you know, because they affect communities. And one of the things that the sheriff hit on the point exactly, the justification that law enforcement offices use to be involved, local communities don't understand that. What they understand, one mother told me that her son said, the police are the people who take my father away. He didn't say ICE, and he certainly didn't say Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office versus AAPD versus Chelsea PD versus Ipsy PD. That's not how communities think. When we see these law enforcement action happen, we often blur them not only with other police forces, not only with other law enforcement offices, but also with other government services.
And certainly we're saying this happened while you were doing this study in 2013, but not to say that these raids are not happening across the country and certainly happened since. So you could take that effect and multiply it nationwide.
Right, exactly. What we're worried about, I think one of the things that is on many of our minds is if Trump wants to deport 2 to 3 million people, mm-hmm. how is he going to do it, right? And is this what's going to happen? Are we going to use more raids? And if so, what can we do to prepare to stop this from happening and what can we do to prepare for the inevitable fallout?
And back over to where you're from, Sheriff Clayton, as the sheriff of Washtenaw County, I know you've been on this program talking about the community outreach efforts you've made.
Right.
So this certainly runs counter to what it is that you're trying to do in the community.
Exactly. So Dr. Lopez brings up a couple of points. People don't discern the different agencies. They just see it's government and it's police. And they're taking this in for an immigration enforcement action. And what it causes is an underservice of that community. So they go underground, they disengage. And for people that are in the community, like most communities, there's always going to be a percentage of folks that are predators. This creates a lot of space for them to prey on those individuals because they know they're going to be less likely to report the crime for fear that the police are going to come maybe to respond to that call, but also to ask immigration status and see if we can get you out of here. Mm-hmm. So it causes folks to disengage and disconnect. And not only law enforcement, I think Dr. Lopez brings up a good point. So it's not only they disconnect from us, they disconnect for other governmental services that could make their quality of life better. So from a police services standpoint, we learned that we may do the same thing. And I'll just say, if they came to us and said, look, we have concern for safety and all that, we may do the same thing. But I guarantee you we might do it, but we do it in a different way. Sensitive to the impact that has on folks. So now we have new advocate friends. And sometimes it's appropriate if you're not compromising safety and security to reach out to them ahead of time and make sure that we're doing the things necessary to not have a long-term negative impact on that community.
We can't wrap up this discussion without addressing the fact that the kind of things that Donald Trump said about undocumented immigrants throughout the campaign and still since he was elected – they spoke loud and to a lot of people. A lot of people heard that message and they voted for him because of that, deporting people who are, in his words, illegally. They like that. And they feel if you don't follow the rules, you ought to go. And so how do you address this wider climate, this public feeling of, you know what, he's got a point and I like it?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think When groups feel disenfranchised, they will often lash out at other disenfranchised groups. I think Donald Trump spoke to a group who largely felt disenfranchised, and a group that is traditionally focused on when this happens is always undocumented immigrants. We've done this throughout the history of the U.S. During World War II, many immigrants were brought into the U.S., kept the U.S. going as troops were stationed, and then were deported afterwards when troops came back. You know, we've been here before, and we can learn these lessons from the past. This does not have to be the reaction we have. We do not have to focus on immigrants specifically. We are multiple groups who are disenfranchised in a variety of ways, some very much more so than others, and I don't mean to make it all sound equal. But there are structural things we can do, perhaps to help multiple disenfranchised groups instead of just eliminating folks with whom we feel we're competing.
Anything you want to add to that, Sheriff Clayton?
No, I think we have to remember our history, commit ourselves to not repeating that, and really talk about what are the values of this country. And also remind we all have an immigrant background. Unless you are native to this country, we all have an immigrant background. So let's understand our history. And I'll just add this other piece. I think there's an opportunity for additional solidarity. I think there are people that in the past had not seen themselves as being target of this type of rhetoric that now say, oh, my gosh, you may be talking about what I represent. And for all of us to come together and push back against that, push back against not only his rhetoric but also remind each other what this country is built on and based on and those values. And I think those values will always win out over hateful rhetoric. We have to stay committed to that.
That's a good place to end our conversation for right now. I know we'll have lots more to talk about. Sheriff of Washtenaw County, Jerry Clayton, and William Lopez, postdoctoral scholar at the University of Michigan School of Social Work. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.